All God's people said amen. There is power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Turn in your bulletins, if you will, or in your Bibles. Romans chapter 5 is where we'll read. I'm sorry. Pardon me. I came back from Israel with several souvenirs, including an upper respiratory infection. I didn't buy that one. I got it free with something else, evidently. But I got the full dose. Getting better. Appreciate your prayers. I very much appreciate your prayers. And looking forward to a great week. Really looking forward, of course, to having my pastor from Indianapolis here, from Greenfield, Brother Randy Parker, not someone new to this crowd, and, of course, a friend for me. I'm looking forward to every speaker that will be here, from Brother Lewis to Brother Wallace. Brother Polly's new for us this year. It's going to be a great week, and I thought a good place to start would be in Romans chapter 5, those first eight verses, just to bring sort of a capsule to what we're going to see in both directions, both prior to chapter 5 and, of course, after chapter 5. There's a lot to cover, and we're going to cover it well. But nothing says it better than being justified by faith. It's what it all comes down to, that precious, precious blood of the Lamb. So in Romans chapter 5, as usual, I'll read the first verse, and if you'll respond by reading the verses opposite of those on the even-numbered verses, that'll be great, thank you. So starting with verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Not while we were good men, because we weren't good men, but while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Brother Jim Lau, I'll ask you, if you will, please come to the pulpit, open us up in prayer, get us ready for this morning, for all that's to come, the great music, the great preaching. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Brother Jim.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come to the house of God and worship today. I thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for us, that we may be saved today. God, may somebody be saved today, and I pray, God, for this conference as we get together and study the Word of God in the book of Romans. I pray that you'll touch hearts, change lives, Lord, and help us to look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray again, even so come, Lord Jesus, in His name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Daniel. There is joy in serving Jesus. Amen. The service of the King. Let's sing page 493. Let's stand as we sing Glory to His Name, 493.
Now that's the cross where my Savior died. Now to where for blessings from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood of Christ.
Be seated. We are so thrilled to have each and every one of you, but we're especially glad to have our guests with us today. Perhaps this is the first time you've been at the home place. Perhaps it's the first time in a long time. If it is, we'd like for you to do something for us if you would. You've already come. We appreciate that. But if you would take the bulletin that you received when you came in the door, perhaps you didn't receive one of those bulletins when you came in the door. If you didn't, just go ahead and raise your hand and let one of these ushers, they're ready to go. They've got some bulletins in their hand. They'd like to put one in your hand because here's what we'd like for you to do. On the outside edge of that bulletin, there's a little flap. If you'll detach that, just take it right off. It's perforated, comes off real nice and easy. And there's a section right on the front that says Welcome Visitors. We'd like for you to fill that out, put that information on so we can have a record of your visit. We'd like for you to do one of two things. If you'd like, you can just put this in the offering plate when it comes by. That could be your contribution for the morning, and we'd be glad to have it. We'd be thankful for it. But we'd like for you to wait till after the service and bring this to us yourself. And here's what we'd like, where we'd like you to bring it. Right out those back doors where that tall, good-looking fellow with the beard just walked in. Hey, Ollie. Right out those back doors, and to the right, there's a little guest reception room that we have set up where myself, Pastor, Brother Mark, would like to get to know you a little bit. If you'll bring that to us, there's some refreshments. There's a gift back there. We'd like to put those things in your hand. Like I said, get to know you, find out how you found out about us, and just get to know a little bit more about you and let you know a little bit more about us. If you have any questions about the home place, we'd be glad to answer anything that we can. So if you can't stay around after the service, it wouldn't take long, but if you absolutely can't, we understand you have to go, well, then drop that in the offering plate, and we'll have that record. But if you can, we'd love for you to just come into that visitor's reception room. And if you brought a guest with you, bring them to the reception room. You're welcome to come enjoy some time of fellowship back there as well. We'd love to have you in there. So please make note of that. In your bulletin as well, there is the invitation card for the Day He Wore My Crown musical that's coming up. We're going to have two different showings of this, if you call it showing, performance, whatever you want to say. Friday night, Good Friday, we're going to have one right here at the church. And this ought to be a well-attended time. A lot of folks looking for something to do as a family on that evening. And so get the word out, get this into folks' hands, and let them know that we'll be having that right here. This is going to be something to see and hear. And I only know a little bit of it. Some of these things are top secret, okay? And you're going to want to see what's going on in this musical. I'm looking forward to it, and I know that you'll be glad that you came. You'll be glad you brought a visitor with you. And the biggest reason you'll be glad is because the gospel is going to be clearly presented and offered, and we want everyone that possibly can to be here for that on Friday, and then again on Sunday. So make sure you have your guests with you on Friday. Bring them back again on Sunday and bring some more guests on Sunday. And, of course, all the normal things that go on Easter Sunday. We have our sunrise service. We have our breakfast. All the things that go with that. This week is Founders Conference. We're marching through the book of Romans as we march to Zion this month in the month of March. And so marching through the book of Romans has already begun with chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Pastor did a fantastic job introducing that. You could tell he had so much more he wanted to cover, just like they all will all week long, because that's the nature of this book. But we're ready for verses 18 and right on through the end of the book. There's a schedule in your bulletin as well. You can find out the speakers that will be here. Be here for every service that you possibly can. If you got the opportunity, be here. Don't just decide to go online and watch, and if you can, that's okay. But make it a point to be here in the services and fellowship with God's people right here in this place as we listen to God's Word preached. And we're looking forward to what God will do in our lives. And I know that you'll find out He does a special thing in your life. Not a lot of announcements beyond those things. Very important things. The Founders Conference, and of course, the day you wore my crown, and all the things that go with Easter. So pay attention to those and be right in your place. Thank you.
Let's take our hymnbooks again. Turn to page 772. If you sing out as well as you did before, you can be seated. And let's just sing it out from our hearts.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all
third,
let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the true life remain. When we all get to heaven, one day of
now do something for me, would you please, on that chorus when we get to, we'll sing and shout. Give us a shout. Let's practice one time. Say, just shout out the word shout. Ready? Here we go. Shout. Oh, do that. Okay, on the last verse now.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold.
When
we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing heaven. When we all sing Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Oh, that's good. That's good. The ushers come forward, if you will, and we'll receive our offering today. What a blessing to see you. Visitors here, folks that have been sick here, and folks that are sick are here. In a little bit, we're going to shake hands. Just don't pass it on, okay? Don't pass it on. It's going to be a great week. Already started out a great week, already. And so I hope you'll enjoy this day. Now, today, after the morning service, we're not serving lunch. But tomorrow, we are, after the morning service. We're going to have a little lunch. And we'll finish up about 12 o'clock, start a little later. Well, we'll start about the same time. We'll get finished about the same time. No, we're going to have two sermons. So it'll be about 12 o'clock. About 12 o'clock, we'll have a bite to eat, and then you may go, and then we'll be back at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 6 o'clock as normal this evening, and then on the weeknights beginning at 7 o'clock. And try to have you out before 9 o'clock. I hope that you'll be here every night you possibly can. I want to mention a prayer request to you. Carmen is over here, and it looks really strange not to see Alicia with her. It looks like half the team is not here because they are identical twins. And it wouldn't be so bad if they dressed differently, but they dress the same. And you just say Alicia or Carmen, and they answer. But Alicia's not here today. Alicia's in the hospital. She's been diagnosed with colon cancer.
and she's walking a very difficult road right now. And so be much in prayer for Alicia today and for all the family. And I trust that you will. Please, please do that. I have here a note from the Williams family. It says, "Dear Pastor and church family, with our deepest love and appreciation, we thank you for all the cards, flowers, food, and last-minute bulletins that were prepared, but most of all for your prayers, love, and songs and testimonies, and words of encouragement during this time in our family's life." And so I hope you will continue to pray for the Williamses. Great days this week, great days ahead. Looking forward to Easter. If you're looking forward to a particular passage in the book of Romans, probably you're looking forward to that problem passage dealing with predestination, election, and all those kinds of things. Brother Parker has the privilege of dealing with that. You've got it covered. You're going to resolve all conflict. That's wonderful. But you also have a little plum in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, I don't know how he's going to approach it, but five times in the book of Romans chapter 5, it says much more. Much more. Those two words used five times in the book of Romans chapter 5. Oh, I look down through here and I see, oh boy, just anticipating the wonderful things that are going to come. And of course, Dr. Wallace, finishing up in Romans 16 with greeting all the people and all the names. His thing has been for a while, what is it that he calls it? Lesser known but nonetheless important. And he's talked about people in the Bible that we really don't know a whole lot about. And of course, there's a lot of them listed in Romans chapter 16. And I thought he'd be a good one to deal with that. And so he's going to deal with that. Daniel Stevens, you've met and never heard preach. Scott Pauley, you have never met him nor heard him preach. He'll be here tomorrow night. And I hope you'll be here. Fine young man. Do you know how old he is? You know how old he is? He's still in his 20s, isn't he? Is he still in his 20s? He's got to be in his 30s. He's old as you are. He's in his 40s. But but I hope you'll be here. I hope you have your offering today. We were singing "Shout the Victory" a while ago. I was thinking I saw a bumper sticker somewhere. I don't know where it was. You see bumper stickers everywhere. It said, "You've seen these bumper stickers that says if you love Jesus, honk." This bumper sticker says, "If you love Jesus, don't honk. Give him the offering." And I think that's probably a better bumper sticker. Father, thank you for this time we come to today, right now, when we worship you, as we give to you. Now, Lord, you could demand of us, and yes, you do command us to give, Lord. But, Lord, I pray we'll do more than that. May it not be just a duty, but may it be a joy. It may be a thing we love to do, to give to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. It's in your bulletin if you need it, so open it up and look at it. If you've been singing it the last few weeks, you probably know it already. If you don't, you should. Okay, let's stand together and sing. We're marching. We're marching to Zion. By the way, next week, we march to Mount Moriah. And then, in the morning service, to Mount Calvary. Then the next week in sunrise service, it's Mount Zion. Mount Zion. So, give us a chord.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joy be known.
Songs abound, and every tear be dried. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion,
beautiful Zion. We're marching under the sky on the beautiful city of God.
Shake hands. Greet those around you. Choir's coming down to be with you. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay. Is she doing okay? Is she okay? Brother Norm's telling me about Judy, his wife, who had surgery this week out of Celebration Hospital. I want you to be much in prayer for her, having some difficulties. And so be much in prayer for Judy Fink. And I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll do that. God bless you, Norm. God bless you so much. Good to have Randy Parker here this morning. A dear friend, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Greenfield, Indiana, just east of, well, really the first city. Once you get out of the suburbs, the first city east of Indianapolis on I-70. Somehow you hear about it recently, or if you watch the news, they have a lot of wrecks in Greenfield. I don't understand this. But anyway, they don't have many train wrecks except Randy. Randy himself is a train wreck. He's been through a difficult time. He's had rotator cuff surgery. And don't grab his right shoulder, all right? Don't touch his right side, please. He just got it out of a sling. And so please be careful with that. But he'll hand you his left hand, and you can shake that and greet him. And it's a delight to have him here. I want to play golf with him now. But what a great preacher. What a great church. God has done wonderful, wonderful things there. In these 28 years of ministry in Greenfield, Indiana. Beautiful new campus of the church, 25 acres, just barely outside the city limits on the southern side of town. And it's just wonderful what God has done. Old North Carolina boy. And he still hadn't got the blue out of him. Did they win last night? You're wearing blue today. All right. Okay. He was concerned about that. I'm not wearing blue and gold today. West Virginia got beat last night by Kansas. But anyway, it'll all be all right. We'll march to Zion. But Rejoice is going to sing, and then I want you to welcome your friend. And I think he's a friend of our Lord's, and he's my special friend, Randy Parker.
He's the rock of our salvation. I'm a train wreck. John Reynolds is a stagecoach wreck. Okay? Amen. I wasn't going to start anything negative, critical, undermining, but he has opened the door. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here and the invitation. What a joy it is. And to be here on Sunday morning, that's a special treat also. And we're grateful to see you, and we hope you see us and we see you several more times this week. Looking forward to each evening. Great start this morning. I think we need to rearrange the schedule and just let us all sit down there and Dr. Reynolds teach the book of Romans. That was just great, and I appreciate it, and he set it up very, very well. Now, we're in Romans chapter 1. My assignment is the 18th verse, down through verse 32. Brother John had the introduction this morning, and he's given me the responsibility for all the issues that will bring lawsuits, court appearances, shotguns in the dark, and so forth, but that's all right. We'll do the best we can with it. I'm going to ask you just to think, as we look through these scriptures from 18 through 32, and think about the thought, who changed? Several times through these verses, it says, they changed. God here gives us His plan. He gives us His words. He gives us His will. And the world seeks to change everything. And that's what they're trying to do here. That's what's being revealed. God gives us His will. He gives us His word. And the world says that's not what we want, so we're going to change it. But I'm awfully glad they can't change the word of God. So I'm glad that what we have here is forever settled. And what we're giving you today is not my philosophy. That's way off my radar scope. I can't get into all the different... All I can do is just tell you what God said, what the Bible says, and that's what I want to stand on. When someone says, what do you think about this? Well, I really don't have much opinion concerning it more than what the Bible tells me to have. So that's what we'll look at today. We're going to look at chapter 1 now, verse 18, and we're going to give you just an outline of these verses, and we're going to say in verse 18 through verse 20, they change the evidence of creation. They change the evidence of creation. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Lord says here, I have given them evidence of the existence of God. I've given them the evidence of the power of God. I've given them evidence of the glory of God. And yet, because that evidence leaves them without excuse, they must change the evidence of God. They can't accept the truth of the evidence because it leaves them without excuse. And so they want an excuse to reject the very presence and existence of God. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there's no God. There's no God. I believe in that text, the words theirs is in italics, simply meaning that it was placed in there for our clarification and understanding. If you read it without that, the Bible just says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. No God. But why? Because if there's a God, I'm without excuse. If there's a God, I have accountability issues. If there's a God, I've got to accept Him as who He says that He is. And the Bible declares here that the evidence of creation throughout the world are clearly seen, being understood from the things which are what? Made. Not the things which evolved. Not the things that happened to come into being, but the things which are made. Isn't it amazing how the world wants to deny the claims of God and somehow tell us that all this is just an accident of biology? It's just an accident of mutation and selection. By the way, you're just an accident. Somebody, you're train wrecks. That's what an accident is a train wreck. Amen. But God says, no, no, no. You can't change the evidence of creation. There was a well-known man said one time, I could understand if a man could stand in space and look down at the earth, the mess that it's in, and say, there's no God. But I can't understand how a man can stand on the earth and look into the heavens and say, there's no God. So He gave us the evidence of His existence, His authority, His power, and yet all the evolutionists have come along and said, we're not going to accept that. We're going to reach out and we're going to devise a very complicated, totally ridiculous method to accept. And we're going to tell you that it's better than God's Word. Can I tell you, it's not better than God's Word. Amen. It's shot full of mistake. It's shot full of contradictions and impossibilities. And only a fool would believe that man knows more about creation than God does. Amen. So, in verse 18 through 20, he's talking about the change of the evidence of creation. And then in verse 21 through 25, he says they changed the object of worship. Now, when you get out from under the authority of a creator, are you listening? When you get out from under the authority of a creator, you can design your own worship. Then you can say, well, this is what I think about worship. If you're under the authority of a creator, you worship as he says worship. But if you can get out from under the authority of a creator, then you can just design your own plan. I heard a lady one time on TV, she was talking about, she's a country singer or pop singer or something like that, but she was talking about her faith. She says, I am a person of deep, deep faith. She said, not in the God that you might believe, but in God as I define Him. Have great faith in a God that I define. Can I tell you this? If you can define Him, He ain't much of a God. Amen. I jumped up and kind of got in the TV's face. I hope she could see me. And I said this, you don't define God. God defines you. And you will take God the way He says God is, or you'll reject the way He says He is, and make up your own God. Look in verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they made a choice. It was not that they were ignorant of God, but they knew God and they made a choice. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart. How do you get darkness? Well, preacher, you go to the darkness garden and gather some seeds. No. Anytime you take away light, you have darkness. Well, preacher, I'm going to research this. And when you turn from light, you're turning to darkness. Now, men have an artificial darkness that can make our light that can make things look awfully good. But you're going to find out in the end that you were groping in darkness. They glorified Him not as God, but came vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, we have found a better way. We have devised a more acceptable way. We found something that is a whole lot more pleasant to hear and pleasant to receive. They, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became fools. When you think you know more than God knows, you're a fool. That's a dangerous word. The Bible has a great deal of caution about that word. But also is very blunt about it. When you turn to anything from God, you've turned to darkness. And when you walk away from the light, God will give you more darkness. Amen. But He says they became fools. And changed, there's the theme, the glory of the uncorruptible God. The glory. When you just take that phrase and the glory of an uncorruptible God and just study about the majesty of that phrase. The glory. They changed it. Unto an image made into the likeness of corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. You just got to wonder the insanity and absurdity of someone who has the opportunity to worship an incorruptible, all-knowing, creating God to something that they can make with their hands. Isn't that sad? Some idol. Some likeness. Just anything but God. Just anything but God. If you want to make a frog and worship that, if you want to worship a tree, if you want to whatever, just as long as you change from that one that made you. That one that has authority over you. That one that you're going to face one day in judgment. You see, that's a great escape. If I can get another God, I don't have to worry about the one that I've got to face. I can get away from that truth and away from that certainty. So they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man. I like he puts those words, corruptible. Uncorruptible God to corruptible things. That cannot ever be destroyed to that that is failing from the beginning. I can't understand why people with correct thinking, and maybe it's because they don't have correct thinking, but just simply would choose to worship something that is as corruptible as they are. Now, you know, if you got a new car, man's got a new car has chosen a great thing. That's somewhere in the Bible, I think. But pretty soon, where'd that thing come from? Where'd that thing come from? You know, honey, you've been driving the car again? And pretty soon, it begins to deteriorate. Well, I put so much faith in that. Well, look in the mirror. You're deteriorating too. You got deans you didn't have. And even worse things than deans. Amen. You're a total wreck. And you worship something that's on the same level as you are. And rejecting something that every time you look at him, you can't find a dean. You can't find a speck of rust. You can't find one thing to criticize. Well, y'all been suffering with me through this much. Now we get into the lawsuits. Verse 24 through 27. They changed the natural to the unnatural. And here it gets into the addressing the subject of a homosexual lifestyle. Okay? This is where it gets in there. Now, you say, preacher, I know I don't like that. Good, I'm glad. I know that's wrong. But I don't know what to tell somebody why. Okay? Now, they changed the evidence of creation. They changed the object of their worship. And here they've changed from the natural to the unnatural. I heard something said the other day. A man was talking, and he said, you know, one of our problems is we don't use God's language. We talk about, are you straight or are you gay? Are you this or are you that? Are you? God doesn't use those terms. God uses the term natural and unnatural. The next time you're forced to ask that question, and we don't have to ask the question much. It's pretty obvious sometimes. But ask the question, are you natural or have you changed from that that's natural? You say, preacher, the people where I work that are like that, they say, hey, I am what God made me. No, you're not. If you go that direction, it's because you're making a choice to go that direction. God didn't make you that way. God made you natural. And you chose to go against that God made you. All the way down through here. The whole thing. They changed. And that's what the homosexual lifestyle is. A change. I don't want what God made me. I'm going to reject what God made me. And I'm going to go my way. They changed from the natural to the unnatural. Look at verse number 24. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanliness. Why? Because they changed the worship, the object of their worship. Through the lust of their own hearts. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. To dishonor that God made holy, that God made pure, that God made in His own image, I'm going to change it to something perverted and filthy and vile. And we got a crowd this size for the benefit of the recordings, somewhere 7,000, 8,000, I would guess is what we got in here this morning. That'll help the numbers there, okay? We've got people that are at least in the mindset of tolerance. Be careful what you tolerate. Because the things that you tolerate, you'll soon accept. And the things that you accept, you'll consider practicing. So be careful what you become tolerant of. Well, preacher, I don't appreciate you becoming and attacking people that have made this choice. That's why I'm not giving you my philosophy. It would be a lot cruder. I'm giving you what the Word of God says. Amen. And you know what? We don't have to apologize for that. Amen. We don't have to back up. We don't have to say, well, you know, I might be wrong. No, if you're standing on what God says, you are not wrong, and you're not going to be wrong, and your grandchildren are not going to be wrong if they stand on it. Amen. It's the Word of God. And so they changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshiped and served the creature. Now get this. What's he talking about? They are worshiping. They are adoring. They are exalting the creature themselves. That's what it's all about. Exalting themselves. Well, preacher, sometimes it's an idol. It's an idol that somebody made. And so, rather than exalting God, when they knew Him as God, they rejected Him as God, and then they got on that slippery slope of, where do you stop? Where do you end? God said He just gave them over to their own wickedness, and it's amazing how wicked human flesh can become. I want to ask you this. Now, it's not a loaded question. Have we reached the bottom? Can it get any worse than what it is? Have we gone to the bottom of the barrel? To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Sometimes we think this is a 21st century issue. No, no, no. This has been going on since the creation of man. Amen. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? Worshiped themselves, their thoughts, their philosophies, their wisdom, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For this cause, God gave them up to vile. That's about as bad a word as He could have used. As filthy, vile, indescribably wicked. Can I tell you this? Do you remember a time when people didn't even talk about this? I mean, living room conversation. If some teenager said something, you know, off color, kind of weird about, somebody say, shut your mouth. We don't talk about this here. But you know what? Now it's on television. It's just being shoved into our lifestyle. I remember when I was a teenage boy, I caddied and I hitchhiked to the golf course every day of the summer. And somebody come to me one day and said, be careful when you're hitchhiking. Why? There's a 53 red Chevrolet that's picking boys up. And you don't want to be picked up by this guy. Why? You just don't want to be picked up. Well, what it? I'm not going to talk about it. Just don't hitchhike a 53 red Chevrolet. And now it's accepted into common conversation and lifestyle. Can I tell you, some things we'd be better off to not even give the respect of discussing, except when it's necessary. Amen. I believe that. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural. What did I say a while ago? You've got the natural and the unnatural. It's not, are you gay? Are you lesbian? Are you straight? Are you natural? Are you going with what is natural to human life? Or are you going to choose that which is unnatural? They change the natural use into that which, what does it say? Against nature. Preacher, that is my nature. No, it isn't. You have made a choice to go against, contrary to nature. Amen. And likewise, no difference, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. Burned in their lust, one toward another. How did that come about? God gave them over to uncleanliness. And so they're going to the depths of it. Men with men working that which is unseemly. The word unseemly there means totally unacceptable. Just unacceptable. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. They're receiving in themselves the punishment that is acceptable and right. Now that's verse 26, 27. They changed the natural unto the unnatural. You see, as I said, the second half of this chapter is God saying, this is the way I want it. And man saying, we're not going to have it the way you want it. We're going to do it the way we want it. And so they changed the evidence of creation. They changed the object of worship. They changed the natural to the unnatural. Verse 28 through 31, they changed their mind. Now God has given them over to that that they decide to be. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Boy, are we there? I don't want to hear it. I don't preach to me. Don't talk to me about the Bible. I know what I believe. I know what I've accepted. I'm at peace with my decision. Well, you won't be for very long. Amen. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Scary, scary thing. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God turned them over to a mind that has been rejected. That's what the word reprobate means. Has been refused, has been rejected. Can I say this, and I know I'm preaching to the choir a little bit here. But I don't care. Somebody said that homosexuals make up 10% of the population. I don't know if that's true or not. Not in the crowd I run in anyway, amen. But if it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and the population is 90%, that won't make it right. Amen. Right and wrong is not determined by the majority vote. Amen. God gave them up. God let them go. And it says that gave them over to a reprobate, a rejected, refused mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know what God could do? God could reach down and smack the brains out of every person who ever committed this sin. But God didn't do that. He gave them, gave it up to them to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled. Now, you know, if it was just, well, I can't say it would be any better. But if it was just sexual orientation, that would be one thing. But God says, when you choose darkness, you can't choose a little sliver of darkness and everything else light. When you choose darkness, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Now I've got to say this. How many of you this morning and would give me an amen and say the homosexual lifestyle is contrary to the Word of God? But God says that's not the only thing. And he goes on down through there. Well, preacher, I know I'm a little bit bad at gossip. Well, God says, don't do it. The same Bible that condemns homosexual lifestyle condemns fornication. You know, sometimes we're pretty comfortable with blasting homosexual lifestyle, and we ought to be. But then, well, I know, but preacher, you know, living outside of marriage, that's no big deal now. Really. The same book condemns both of them. The same God condemns both of them. He goes on being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. And if there's not enough evil, they will invent evil. Amen. They'll come up with their own evil. They devise it. Why? Because their imaginations are running in that course. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. How did that get in the same list? Because we've got one God. Amen. Disobedient to parents. And he goes on and he goes on. Without natural understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, and he stops with the colon there. They changed their mind, not only on their sexual orientation, but it's kind of like this. If God's for it, I'm against it. If God's against it, I'm for it. You see, when they get that mindset and get into that gutter, everything's clouded. Everything's wrong. I'm going to close with this last thought. Verse 32. They changed from fear to no shame. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God. They know the judgment of God. They understand the righteousness of God that demands judgment. That demands punishment. That demands God's righteousness being satisfied. They know that. But the Bible says, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them and do it. Wickedness loves company. That's why the world is out candidating for your children. That's why the world is recruiting your grandchildren. Why? They take pleasure in them that do these things. Have you ever had someone that was involved in this kind of wickedness look at you and kind of smile and say, one of these days, there'll be more of us than there are of you. God's going to judge. God's going to condemn. God's going to... Well, we'll worry about that then. Right now, we love it. We take pleasure in it. And we're recruiting everybody we can to a wicked life. They changed. God gave the best. And they said, we want the worst. Now, preacher, how do you give an invitation on this? It takes courage to stand. It takes wisdom to know how to talk to your grandchildren. But I'm going to tell you this. They're being recruited, not only in homosexual lifestyle, but in every wicked device of man. And brought in and invited. Dope, alcohol, all these things. They not only know the judgment of God is against it, but they take pleasure in it and them that do it. I'm going to just close with this thought. And them that do it, we are making heroes out of the wrong people. We're making heroes out of the wrong people. Pastor.
You say, wow, that's a Sunday morning sermon? Well, we don't order the Word of God. I mean, this is just the order the way it came in the book of Romans, okay? And that's where it is. And whenever I dealt with this a few months ago, you know, I dealt with it on Sunday morning after the Supreme Court ruling. Change and choice go together. Song in our book says, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Would to God, every one of us this morning could say, I choose Jesus. I choose God. I choose God's way. Whatever that may be, that's my choice. I choose Him. I stand with Him. I stand with God if I stand alone. But I promise you one thing, one with God is a majority. And God will have the final word.
If you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart, you say, well, that doesn't really, it's not really where I am so willing. But you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why don't you make that choice today? Today, I will trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. There may be some here today that God has spoken to your heart about choosing to come to this place and make this your church home. If you choose that on a day like this, you pretty well choose sides real quickly. Real quickly if you choose that on a day like this. But we just want God's will, as revealed by His Holy Spirit in His Word and to us as individuals. We want God's will. And whatever your life may be, we want God to have His way. In your life, in our lives, in the life of this church, that God will be glorified in all of this. We want Him to have His own way. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Mold me, make me after your will. I'm waiting, yielded and still. If you will, stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. The instruments are going to play if God has spoken to your heart about choices in your life. Would you come as they play? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the clarity of it, the plainness of it, and yet the appropriateness of it. It's never out of order. Father, you deal with things with terminology and words that are appropriate and proper, and I thank you for one who opens your word with us and follows that pattern in your word. Father, I thank you for difficult times and difficult things with which to deal. Give us an opportunity, Lord, to try not to be misunderstood, but to understand that as you love, we love. And yet, Lord, that love must be consistent with your word and your way and your will as it's revealed. Father, I thank you for a young lady coming saying, I want to find God. I want to find God. And Lord, she'll sure find you. Seems like you found her. And I ask you to bless and help her today. Others that have come and made choices for you today. Lord, I pray that your will be done in all of our lives. Now, Lord, watch us as we go from this place. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bring us back tonight. And throughout this week, may a difference be made in lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, what a wonderful and appropriate walk through a very difficult passage. And I appreciate Brother Parker, and appreciate his approach to the passage today. What a beautiful thing. And, of course, it's Brother Parker, and I don't know whether you noticed this or not, but there were 5 points in that. And so whenever you come back to tonight, you will hear him on Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And without a doubt, you'll probably take 5 steps through Romans chapter 2. And then Brother Shane Lewis coming in this afternoon, and he'll be in for the service tonight and preaching the 7 o'clock service tonight, the second session tonight. Then tomorrow at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the first session, and then we'll have a very brief song, prayer, and right into the maybe a special, and right into the first session, and right into the second session tomorrow night. And I'm excited. I'm excited about this week. I was talking with Brother Randy last night. He said, how long we've been doing this? I said, I don't know. It's got to have been 15 years that we've been doing Founders Conference. And the first Founders Conference we ever did, we went through the book of Romans. And now here we are back at the book of Romans. What a great time. What a great time. I hope you'll come. Shake hands with those around you. Be back tonight if you can at all. Thank God for this time together. You're dismissed. It's so good to be with you today. I trust you enjoyed the service. A very difficult time, a very difficult passage to deal with. But that's where we are in the book of Romans. And God begins it right there. I don't know whether you were in Sunday school for the introduction to the book. But what God said in the introduction, he said right into this passage today in the last part of chapter 1. And that's for Jews and Gentiles, all. And we're coming all the way through the book of Romans. That is for all of us. Every person in every place. For those of us who are here, those of you that are there. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'm glad you've joined with us on live stream. I hope you'll be back tonight. Now, tonight at 6 o'clock, Brother Parker, who spoke this morning, will be speaking at 6 o'clock tonight. And then in the second session tonight, we'll come to Romans chapter 3. And Dr. Shane Lewis, a young preacher from up in Alabama, near Decatur, Alabama, a little tiny town called Somerville. I think they have a flashing caution light at the crossroads, and that's the center of Somerville. And they have a very large church, Somerville Baptist Church, in Somerville, Alabama. And he's a great young man and a great preacher. And I hope you'll join with us tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for enjoying the live stream. Come see us when you can. God bless you. You're